Greetings to everybody. I want everybody to do just one thing for me before we get started. All right? I want everybody, all participation, all right? Everybody, close your eyes. All right? Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and just take in the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Take a minute just to, you know, settle our spirits. If praise and worship didn't do that for you, just take this moment. Many of us have had to get little kids ready, had to get ourselves ready, prepare different things. And a lot of times we just forget that we just need to just, as Dan was saying, just sit still for one moment.
Amen.
And just allow God just to refresh you. All right. The title of my message today is The Power of No. No. N-O, two little letters, okay? In Matthew 7:15, the word says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." This is a warning from God that we must be ever watchful of who and what we listen to and how we judge if what we are hearing is from God or from the devil. It says to judge by the fruit, not by the gifting. I believe that through prayer, God had revealed to Pastor that the spirit is rearing its ugly head about the nation, about our country, and even influencing amongst us here. And God always goes before us, and he gives us a warning. And the Jezebel spirit can come in two forms. It can come boldly, or it can come subtly. And we have to be aware of both of those tactics. Okay? For the past several weeks, we have heard several characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. This spirit encourages sexual immorality, seeks control and power, worships idols, practices witchcraft, manipulation, is rebellious, unrepentive, murderous, plots and schemes to get whatever she wants. All that we know to be evil is evident and promoted by the spirit, which is in direct contrast to who God is, to God is. Before we move on, let's take a few minutes to understand how spirits affect us, what they can and can't do to believers. I want us all to be on the same page here, okay? So I have some questions. How many of us believe that believers can be possessed? Okay? Some don't know. Question there. I, at first, thought, no. It's like if the Spirit of God is within you. But I mentioned it to Pastor the other day, and he brought up a good point. How about a carnal Christian? Okay? So, a carnal Christian, although they may be saved, often invites the spirits in by the things that they do or things that they participate in. So, I have to rethink that. Can a Christian be possessed? You'd have to look at the circumstance. You'd have to look at that person's life before you could really answer yes or no. How many of us believe that a believer can be oppressed? That's a unanimous vote. Okay. We only need to look at Job to see that, yes, that's true. You can be oppressed. Okay. How many of us believe that a believer can be controlled by evil spirits? All right, here we go. Another unanimous vote. And one more. Who believes that the believers can be influenced by Yeah, that one didn't even take long to think about that one. Everybody's hands went up. This last area is the area that we're going to be talking about, the area of influence. I believe that this is the most dangerous tool of the Jezebel spirit because it's often so subtle that we don't even recognize that we've been misled until it's too late, until after the damage is done, causing many to fall away from God, destroying people's lives. Before influence can be effective, however, the spirit of seduction lays the groundwork. We begin to hear those seducing voices that Gary had spoke about in his message. Those voices enticing our carnal man to rise above the spiritual man that's within us. The spirit of seduction goes way back even to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan asks, "Didn't God say you can eat from every tree in the garden?" At first Eve's response was, "God has said you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." She almost got it right, wasn't quite there. And Satan says, "You will not surely die." Starts to try to confuse her, place that doubt in. But here comes the seduction. "For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." I think that was where he pressed her button, right there. "Then lust drives home the next step. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took and she ate it." But then what happened next? Eve influences Adam to also sin. Now right there, I have a question. Did Eve make Adam partake, or did she persuade, justify, give him a little help to do something that was already present in Adam? Adam didn't stand up and say no. Okay? But was there a little bit of something already in him that says, maybe I would have liked to do, God said no, but I would have liked to do that. But with that little bit of influence that came from Eve, that was his weak spot. And he gave in. I want everybody to hold on to that thought, how Eve was used. We're going to fast forward this to present time in a few minutes. Did Adam know better? Mm-hmm. Did Eve know better? Mm-hmm. But they sinned anyway. Many times we do the same thing. We know better, but we do the sin anyway. Becoming ensnared in the devil's net that he sets before us. And then there's this big struggle to set us free from that. The story of Jezebel starts with her husband Ahab. Let's read about King Ahab in Kings 1, 16, 29 through 33. We can turn there. We've used these scriptures a lot in talking about the Jezebel spirit. But it's always good to go back and refresh as we begin a new message. Okay. 16. Okay. Are we there? "In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judea, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped with them." The scriptures say that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger them than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Verse 31 says, as though it wasn't bad enough that Ahab himself walked in the sins of Jeroboam, then he took a wife, Jerubbaal, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the high priest of Baal worshipping Sidonians, who was raised in an atmosphere where sex was the path to power and influence. The verse leads us to believe that the sins that Ahab were committed, the sin of marrying somebody from this nation, was even a greater sin. And so what was he thinking? Now he's hooked up with somebody else that is evil. God, why did God make a point of that? I believe because that as his wife, she would continue to influence him. Because God knew that the influence she would have would be devastating. As the leaders of nations, the laws that they would set before the people would give them permission to do much evil. Now that snare had been almost cemented. He had somebody else, a co-person, to walk with him out. And eventually what she did, she left him in the dust. She just took over. But as we go back, as these leaders, the lore of these legal doctrines that they had made, mind you, under King Ahab, these behaviors were legal. We have to remember that legal doesn't justify right or righteous. The lore of these legal, readily available, erotic encounters was more than the men of Israel could resist. By Jezebel's influence, 10 million, and I said 10 million, Israelites were left the worship of God for Baal and Asherah. 1 Kings 19:18 says, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Just think about this for one second. 10 million Israelites were misled away from God by this seducing spirit. Only 7,000 were left. Do we think this is a powerful spirit? Ahab may or may not have intended his life to become what it was, but Jezebel was never unsure of her motives or her goals. She did not hide who she was or what she wanted. What she did do and still does is use deception and manipulation to get what she wants. Going back to Eve in Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. The Jezebel spirit is cunning and will do whatever is necessary, even murder, to get what she wants. If we think that we can outwit these spiritual influences on our own, we're already deceived. It's only with the constant guidance of the Holy Spirit, daily renewing our minds through God's word, prayer, and the help of other believers, can we gain victory over this spirit. But anything else that the devil has to throw at us. The Jezebel spirit can come to us full face, bold, arrogant, proud, power hungry, or it can come in a more subtle way. If we look close and use the discernment of the Holy Spirit, we can see both happening today. Boldness. Abortion is okay. Bishop leaders of the church openly involved in homosexuality. People, churches, claiming that they have been enlightened to some deeper truths of spirituality. Embracing Mother Nature. There are many paths to nirvana. We can go on and on and on and on, listing the New Age doctrines that all of a sudden are keep cropping up. All we need to do is take them and challenge them with the Word of God, and we can see what spirit is controlling these paths. Elijah, a mighty man of God, came face to face with this fierce spirit, causing even him to run and hide, to give up. He prayed that he would die. Even Elijah, who knew God so intimately, was intimidated by this spirit. He thought he was the only prophet left alive. The Jezebel spirit can also come in a more subtle way, using the power of influence to lead us away from God. The power of influence, the power to influence others, is so strong, I don't think we even realize its magnitude. I think it was Jesse who said, we only need to move one step to throw us off course, to miss the mark. The military has two plans in place to protect us, destroying an incoming danger or to divert it. And that's the same thing that the enemy tries to do. She either tries to destroy or divert. It will try to, the Jezebel spirit will always seek to get you out of the race, either by direct action or discouragement. It will try to get you to doubt yourself. It will try to doubt your purpose in God. The Jezebel spirit will try to sidetrack you. Remember, the ultimate goal of the Jezebel spirit is to get you and me to walk away from God. The Jezebel spirit wants to neutralize any life-giving church. Is it our goal to be a life-giving church? Yeah. Do you think we're going to be influenced, or do you think we're going to be attacked by this Jezebel spirit? Again, God's warning to us is to open our eyes, to be wary. How do we get diverted or sidetracked? It's by the things that we allow to influence us, and then eventually embrace. Influence has two parts. How we're influenced, and then how we're influencing others. Part one, how we are influenced. Our senses are all receptors that take in data, the process that is processed in our brain. All this information is stored and utilized to determine what our behavior, what our speech, what our decisions, and what our actions are going to be. Everything that we see and hear is going to influence us somehow. That's why it's so important to guard these areas. We can be influenced by the things around us and not even know. I like doing, stepping back and taking a look at human behavior, even in myself, because I want to line it up to how that corresponds spiritually. And I remember a time, I'm going to date myself here, and I remember a time when bell bottoms first came out. Okay? Now, we had just come back from straight legs, you know, real tight, you know, peg leg, whatever, style pants. And when they first came out, I hated them. I said, oh, I'm never going to wear them, never. And then all of a sudden, what happens? All around you, that's the only thing that you can buy. It's the only thing that's available. And all of a sudden, all right, doesn't look so bad. And all of a sudden, that's the only thing in my wardrobe. Now, I started going off by saying I hated these things. And it really didn't have to do with the bell bottoms or other. But I had to look at myself is, how did I change my mind? What changed my mind? And I was influenced by the things around me. Like, what was available. And I saw that as being, that's a powerful thing. Influence is a powerful thing. I'm in the process of doing another one of those behavior analyzing those behavior things, but it would take me into a bunny trail. I don't want to do that. But Wednesday, remind me, okay, and just say librarian, and I will fill you in on my newest, my newest little behavioral study that I'm going to be working on. Sometimes it's easy to recognize those things that we should or should not embrace or accept, but other times it's not so easy. The bold, arrogant approach will usually trigger many spiritual red flags, but sometimes the subtle approach is not so readily recognized. Why? Because it comes in disguise, because sometimes it's brought to us by someone we trust. It could be a friend, a mother, a father, a brother, sister, boss, coworker, brother and sister in the Lord. All well-meaning, but nonetheless susceptible to being utilized by an ungodly spirit. We all know the story of Sarah and Abraham. Sarah used her influence to convince Abraham to sleep with Hagar and to bear a child. Sarah, his wife, who would he trust more than his wife? Sounded like a good idea at the time, but one thing, neither of them asked God what he thought of the plan. So here we see another wife, another someone close, Eve, close to Adam, very vulnerable, open to the suggestion of that spirit. And another one, Abraham, again, open to his wife, somebody close to him, open to that spirit. Sometimes we are influenced by those in authority. We listen to hours of speeches and debates as politicians try to influence us and gain our votes. This is extremely important that we as Christians need to be most vigilant. The Jezebel spirit not only wants to take down the church, it wants to destroy what's left of this country, which was founded on God. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." God tells us to pray for our leaders, that those we elect are led by God and not just flattering us with fancy speeches. We need to do all we can to give this authority to someone operating under the control. We need to do all we can not to give this authority to someone operating under the control of the Jezebel spirit. Again, do we invite them in? Are we putting them in power? Are we giving them that place of authority? Jezebel was given that place of authority by the fact that she was the king's wife. And then what did she do? She took it over. The second, that our leaders are protected from the attack of this spirit. Sometimes we're influenced, and there, we need to pray that the attack from the Jezebel spirit is going to be a fierce one on those that are in power. So we do need to continue to lift them up and pray for them. Sometimes we're influenced by gossip and lies that we hear about a brother or sister. Do we shut down gossip? Do we choose to believe the lie? Or cover that brother and sister in love? Does what we hear about that person change how we interact with that person? We talked about this last Wednesday. Dan had brought up that when a brother or sister falls, it's important. The fact that they have fallen is one issue, but the way that we respond to that is another issue. I've mentioned these areas to get us to think about how we process what we hear. Do we process everything we hear through God's filter, through His Word? Are we diligently testing the spirits for truth? Are we guarding our ears for the influence of Jezebel through those around us? The second part of influence is, how are we influencing others? There isn't a person in here that does not influence somebody else. And again, I don't think we can even comprehend the magnitude of this influence. From the smallest of interaction to the most intimate relationship, the power to influence another person is ever present. Through our speech, we can either encourage others to draw nearer to God, or we can draw them away from God. We are all susceptible to being utilized by the Jezebel spirit, just by simply interjecting our own opinion about a matter, we can lead someone astray. Our opinions are tainted by our feelings and our emotions. The truth is, the only opinion that we should share with others is of God's word and those inspired by the Holy Spirit in love, gentleness, kindness, and goodness, always encouraging, edifying, and exhorting one another. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Job rejected the influence of his wife when she said to him, "Do you still hold to your integrity? Curse God and die." There, again, Jezebel's spirit trying to influence. But Job was able to be strong enough to withstand and say, no. To overcome the Jezebel spirit, we must be aware of its goal, which is to lead us away from God, to worship idols created within our society and the tactics used by this spirit, spiritual immorality, manipulation, control. Recognizing the seduction and the influences that will allow the spirit opportunity to divert and destroy God's plan for you and me. We must stop trying to negotiate and be tolerant. One thing we have to remember that the Jezebel spirit never has, did not, and will never give back any ground. Okay? We must rid ourselves of any influences that Jezebel has imparted to us, to our lives. We cannot cast out lust when we harbor lust in our lives. We cannot bring down the spirit of control if we use manipulation to control others. We must examine our ways and repent before we can battle this spirit. I chose to begin this message with the illustration of Adam and Eve because it was there where the fall of man began, and it is where the fall of man will continue if we continue to be seduced and influenced by this lying, cunning deceptions of the enemy. The key to not being seduced by Jezebel's spirit is not to even open the door for communication. Amen. Jehu, who defeated Jezebel, did not allow himself to be even drawn into conversation with her. He told her eunuchs to throw her down from the balcony. As Jesse said in her message, you must know who you are in Christ. To see yourself as God sees you and to know the power and authority you have in Christ. Jehu knew his purpose. He showed no mercy to Jezebel and knew how to protect himself. The key to exposing this spirit is to implement the power of no. I wonder what would have happened if Eve had said no to the serpent. The key to overcoming the Jezebel spirit is confronting the evil. Intercessory prayer and coming dressed for battle, putting on the whole armor of God. I lost my train of thought here. Let me try that again. The key to overcoming the Jezebel spirit is confronting the evil with intercessory prayer and coming dressed for battle, putting on the whole armor of God. The weakness needs to be, no area of weakness can be exposed. This spirit does not leave. It must be put to death and leaving no remains. And there must be no remembrance of her. It is a powerful and wicked spirit, and we need, as I said before, 2-minute warning, I'm going to be done. As I said before, we need each other. We need to be mindful of the Word of God, know the Word of God within our spirits. For me, I know that a lot of times I can sense that there's something wrong in the spirit. All of us have that within us. We just know that something might not be right. You know, what a person might have said or whatever. We need to be very aware of that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to get us to get into His Word, to test those spirits. We're to test the spirits and to see the fruit of those spirits, not to be persuaded by a person's gifting or calling or some notoriety that they may have. It's very important for us to test everything against the Word of God. Be prepared and be aware.